This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report. Long history of candidate confusion. I read with great interest the news reports of arrests in the Miami, Florida area over election shenanigans that were the undoing of a Democratic legislator from the area. Former Republican state legislator, acting now as a campaign consultant and operative for Republican candidates, reached out and found a friend who owned a house in the incumbent's district and induced his buddy to run with a payment of $50,000 in order to siphon off enough votes to help the Republican candidate he was supporting to succeed. This resulted in the Democrat losing by 32 votes. This wasn't the end of the story, though. Police arrested them both on 3 third-degree felony charges related to the violating campaign finance law, including for conspiracy to make campaign contributions in excess of legal limits, making those excess contributions, and false swearing in connection to an election. In old-school election politics, this might fall somewhere between a dirty trick and a shrewd campaigning tactic. It's probably a surprise to many of the old pals to find that you can get caught up in a legal web these days, given campaign laws. I'm not sure what lessons they might learn other than being more careful, though, since the Florida Republican Party and the winning candidate still pretty much commented, so what, to the whole affair. There is no minimum sentence for a third-degree felony in Florida, but there is a maximum sentence of up to 5 years in prison. There's also a maximum fine of up to $5,000. Depending on the crime, the court may order the defendant to pay restitution to the victim. I'd bet that probation is the worst of what they'll face. All of this reminded me of the many mornings I spent in the early 1970s sitting in the back of the Walgreens on Main Street in Little Rock, Arkansas, visiting with veteran political campaigner and architect of Wilbur Mills' career and election success, Max Allison. Roger Mears, before becoming county judge, was a regular, along with a gaggle of others who would come and go to hear the stories and ask for advice. One of his classic stories involved the machinations that he engineered to try to derail the campaigns of arch segregationist Jim Johnson for governor. A standard device in his toolbox was running candidates with the same name in the election to confuse voters into pulling the lever for his Johnson rather than the real Johnson. This worked well and was pretty much common practice in elections in Arkansas and other southern states in the 1940s and 50s, as campaigns tried to exploit any advantage, along with the lower literacy rates and information dispersal in politicking at the time. Were these faux candidates given money to run, like the Miami situation? Allison always left as much out of the story as he put in a story. He would compliment you on your ability to work the political equation for the correct answer and to follow what he called the fine hand behind the news. I had little doubt that there were inducements involved, most likely a job in the county or some state agency or some contracts now or in the future, but cash money might have been at play as well. Those tactics were out in the open, after all, and there were no laws of any degree that regulated bare knuckles campaigning then, just as there really are very few today as well, as we see constantly in modern political life. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.